May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 385. Hear, gracious God, a sinner's cry, for I have nowhere else to fly. My hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. 385.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Book of Psalms, Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, the fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty, most gracious, most holy Lord God, we come, thou knowest, to thy footstool in the spirit of the opening hymn. O Lord, how we need that mercy continually, and it's real mercy we need, real blessing, real grace. O Lord, we realize that we deserve not a farthing at thy hand, not a penny of mercy and salvation and love, not even a token. But all we come to thee as we are, all we plead the name of Jesus for my sins. Lord, there is a taking up the cross, there is a following thee. But how we still have to pray like a child, that thou wilt strengthen us, help us, and be with us. Forgive us our debts. Lord, how deep is our need. How vast is the corruption of our heart and mind. But there is an answer under the cloud of sovereign grace. according to thy eternal purpose of grace, according to the Father's will, according to the Father's compassion, according to the Father's decree and purpose, innate in his very being. Lord, an answer, a blessing, a mercy, love, compassion, eternal life, knowledge, understanding, sunshine, flow through thine only begotten Son. So we bow before thee and plead his name before the throne. O Lord, we would not speak carelessly, indifferently, Lord, in a lofty way, a dry way, concerning thy sufferings and pleading them. For they are exceeding precious unto us and tender, yet we need to bear fruit in them. O Lord, so many of us can, and I fear it myself, to speak about these things in a careless way, an unaffected way. How we need to, Lord, be reverent in our understanding and heart concerning our soul safety. Lord, it is a safety. There is an ark. There is an abiding. O Lord, and make us sensitive to sin. O Lord, we are full of it, nothing but sin, but there is a cleansing. There is a desire given. There is a leading. There is a fountain opened. And we would, Lord, reverently remember thy name and thy sighing, what sin has done, even to the Son of God. But oh, what compassion, what love, what grace, what deliverance. We do want to know more of these things, Lord. Oh, do make at least, Lord, make me a little child. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about what people might think. Oh, Lord, visit my soul. Oh, Lord, come and dwell in my heart again. Come and dwell there. Come and visit. Come and strengthen. Strengthen our faith, increase our love. Oh, we pray, reveal thyself again. Shine in the letters of the gospel. We may know the reality of the Son of God, crucified for us, dying in our place, risen for us that we might live. To know his voice, to know thy voice, Lord Jesus. Or to know thy constraining power, to know thee to take us by the right hand. How we need these blessings afresh, how we need them reviving. So we come this evening hour, the hour of worship, and do pray, Lord, that we may be delivered from notions in the head, and just an understanding of gospel principles, or that we might have the touch of righteousness, love, we may know our sins conquered in Jesus. O Lord, we may know them put away. We may be strengthened for the battle that will go on while life endures. O Lord, that we may have that singleness of iron heart. Thou dost show us mercy to receive that everlasting kingdom. O Lord, I pray these things, for we need them. But much confession is needed from me. Much confession, submission, acquiescence, to fall into thy hands, not to reply, but to stand in awe of thy dealings and sin not. took knowledge. Lord, we think of those last few years when Jerusalem was under a terrible siege and destruction was imminent, yea, was upon them. O Lord, all thou didst say to them is, only acknowledge thine iniquity. Lord, but they did not and would not. But Lord, where grace is given, it will be so. Help us now to only acknowledge this and to say that we have sinned against the Lord and forgotten thee days without number and gone our own way. O Lord, and full of self-satisfaction. O Lord, draw our soul heavenward where thou art. Turn our heart away from this earth, or to know a place prepared, a refuge, a harbour, a haven, a heavenly home. O, our affections. Lord, it's where are our affections? Or to have them set on things above where thou art. Draw us, Lord, by thy grace. Break up our fallow ground. So, Lord, our petitions are mixed and jumbled. But we do pray. O Lord Jesus, however long the wait, do reveal thyself unto us. Speak again. Oh, let the heavens drop down fatness. Come and visit us. Come and visit us. Lord, we're poor and needy, undone, perishing, helpless, in of ourselves absolutely hopeless. So we look to thee now. Now we bow in worship. Pray thy blessing on the word. Lord, it's nothing to do with man. It must be by the Spirit. Oh, we pray thy blessing. Open up the gospel, open up the word. Holy Spirit, speak to us where we are. Oh, that we might know Jesus has come into our very case and come where we are. We might feel thee to come where we are. Thou hast come, if we're thine already. Thou didst enter in thy sufferings to where all thy people would come to. Lord, do let us feel thee near. Now bring us through honourably to the end of the journey. We know not what lies ahead. Lord, there might be days of much staggering under thy dealings. The intensity of the trial of faith, yet thou art the same. May we be led like a child. May we be able to quickly, by thy grace, by thy mercy and compassion, curl ourselves up in those everlasting arms. Oh, remember us. Lord, we've got to fall into thy hands. Let us feel to be in those hands in all things. Bless the dear friends. Bless this house of prayer. Remember thy servants that come. Bless the ministry in this place. Bless the deacons. We pray for them, the church, the congregation, those in senior years. Feel the frailty of their day. Those in middle life, in the heat of the day, the burden, the cares, the anxieties. O Lord, the oppositions. Remember the younger people, the younger friends. Going forth in life, we pray thy blessing on them. Or that thou wilt undertake for them, and but do draw them to thyself. The dear children, the sweet babes. May they be heirs of glory. Bless the Sunday school. Lord, bless Zion. Bless thy servants on the walls of Zion. We thank thee for thy mercies, healing mercies, bringing through one and another, little ones, older ones. Thus far thou hast helped us. Dear Lord, remember Zion. Remember thy servants this night. O Lord, we pray, return in power in the gospel in our churches. Pray for thy one church in the earth, the missionaries, where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Many in persecution, war, conflict, deprivation, genocide, make ways of escape. Have mercy on England, Lord. Oh, have mercy on us. Lord, lengthen out our Protestant heritage, religious, civil liberties, freedom to worship. Have mercy on us. We live in solemn times. Overthrow the evil bills on the statute book. Oh, dear Lord, remember every case, one in affliction, pain, suffering, loneliness, difficulties. Remember us each on the morrow. Go before us. Remember all in bereavement. Now, Lord, we cry to thee. We must, will, and do. Thank thee for thy mercies, Lord. Preservation. Protection, safety. Lord, even thy watchful care and eye, even in the wrong pathway, even in the turning aside. O Lord, we acknowledge every mercy, provision, answers to prayer. Help us truly to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand. Thou mightest exalt us in due time, not, Lord, on earth before men, not within ourselves, but unto a heavenly hope, casting all our care upon thee, knowing thou carest for us. Oh, thou hast had respect unto us, as the hymn writer says, even in sin. O Lord, we do thank thee for every mercy. Spiritual mercies, thy precious blood. Oh, the grace of our great high priest. We worship thee. Now, Lord, anything we may have omitted in prayer, do make up in giving. Bless the singing of thy worthy praise. Holy Spirit, be due. Thou knowest every case, every heart. Let the manner of the gospel lay upon us this night, we pray. Lord Jesus, I plead thy name before the throne. Thou knowest every desperate case, every groan, every sigh, every care, every impossible cloud. Have mercy. Shine, Lord. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. 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 Amen.
Hymn 941. Jesus, my life, Lord, my life, my all, prostrate before thy throne I fall. Fain would my soul look up and see my hope, my heaven, my all in thee. 941.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon the Lord, for he needed help. I would draw your attention to the prophet Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7. The prophet Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. The prophet Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold or a strength in the margin, in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. This prophecy is a short one against Nineveh, the power of Assyria, the capital of Assyria. But in this first chapter, there are a number of verses which speak of the Lord's mercy and deliverance and grace to his church. And then the rest of the prophecy seems to be against Nineveh. In this first chapter, we have this good word. Before I come to it, look at verse 3. Look at verse 2. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on whom? His adversaries, not on his people. He may take vengeance on their inventions. He may take away their idols, but it's his adversaries. But in verse 3 we have a wonderful truth. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. Do we know him to be slow to anger by experience? Gracious experience. When the Lord does correct, there is a reason. There is a good reason. And we have to learn. But I want to come to the word. The Lord is good. I read Psalm 107. As not just a meditation on the Lord's manifold providence and so forth, but in his great goodness to the children of men. Have you some experience in Psalm 107? Have you ever fallen down and there is none to help? Do you know what it is to be in the day of trouble? I will go back to this psalm in a moment. But the Lord is good. The Lord is good. This isn't theory. Where does his goodness lie? Where is the glory of his goodness? Is it not to poor sinners who deserve endless wrath? We can all speak of God's providence. We can all speak of the weather and the harvest. There is a covenant with the earth. These things will not fail. But mercy to sinners, goodness in his grace, goodness in sending his only begotten Son to suffer. What goodness. What goodness to bring you and I to need him. Are you brought to need the Lord Jesus? The Lord is good. The goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance. How good the Lord has been. I want to speak of it in a personal way. Opening the eyes of the blind. Our eyes. Causing us to see things we never did see before. our lost state, our helpless, and make us feel it. You see, it's feeling the leprosy. We feel the leprosy working, and we can't stop it. A man cannot heal himself, yet he causes us to feel it, to cry to him, and send us and lead us to the good physician. While we're on the subject, the man that came down from the mountain full of leprosy, look at those 10 lepers that came to Christ, all healed, one returned to give glory. What a healing! What a healing! The Lord is good. I am the Lord that healeth thee spiritually. Let's go back to this again. He's brought you to need him. He's opened your eyes. He's touched the ear to listen for him, wait for him, and to bring us to cry to him in our trouble. The Holy Spirit will work in his people to see a suitability, a wonderful sufficiency of grace in the Lord Jesus. Before you receive it, before any of those living streams flow, you cannot imagine how good it would be, but you cannot know until receiving it, but you see it and need it and cry for that mercy. Oh, that the rebuke might be taken away as he opened our eyes, not just to see our own self, but to see the grace that is in him. A grace that is in him. I ought to really to start by speaking of the Lord Jesus. How good he was to come to this earth. You could say, well, he must come. One with the Father, in full agreement and one purpose. He must come. But what mercy to come. And he did come. And he knew what it meant. But love brought him down. And yet, hell, the horror, the awful charge of sin against his holy soul brought him low in Gethsemane. Yet still, he submitted to his Father's will to drink the cup and the wrath. The Lord is good. How good. Has he brought you to realize the wonder of his advent? A real man, touched with the feeling of our infirmities. This was eternal love that brought him good. Now, how does that affect my soul? I'll be drawn out to him. How good to give you a desire after him. And open your eyes, as I said already, to need him, to need that atonement. And for you to inquire, were those sufferings, I speak this reverently, were those sufferings for me? Didst thou die for me? That's the cry of a living soul. And it will be to the end of the journey. How good. How good to come and walk on this earth. Oh, we need our eyes opening. We need the eyes of our understanding enlightened to realize the holy nature of God. It's not a theory, you know. It's not as you learnt it as a child or study. It enters the heart with penetrating light. And you will feel yourself to be undone when we realize the holy just demands of God. I wonder what we know about them. But oh, how could we know about them? Were there not mercy? Was there not mercy with it? Was there not mercy flowing? But he left his radiant throne on high and came down. You know, the love of God, don't overlook this. The love of the Father to the church, to his people, to part with his Son. It wasn't, I speak reverently. Christ coming wasn't just a man on a mission. I speak that reverently. I speak that reverently. He left heaven to come and to be clothed in humanity. And the Father, in love to his chosen. I know he was ordained, anointed, so forth when he was on earth. It was all divinely appointed, and there was oneness in the covenant, in the agreement, but love to lost man. Love to lost man. But of course, the divine nature could not be separated when he was on earth. He was still the Son of God, still one with the Father. So there was no separation in that. But love to man. Love to man. Has he brought you to need him? What brought you to pray? Do you remember the time when you first began to pray? When you felt your need, you may not have felt to be such a sinner, but by and by God has shown you more of that, hasn't he? He may not have struck you down as the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road or convinced you of your sin, but he's brought you by and by to feel it more. Do you remember when you first began to pray? When you felt your need, perhaps in a simple way, began to to know something more of reality and religion. And he began to pray. So what poor prayers. Yet they entered into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth. How good the Lord has been. Friend, and to lead us in prayer. And give us that little knowledge of the hope in his Son. You may not have had what the blessing you want. You may not be established in grace. You may not feel your sins forgiven. But your soul is still after him. Our Lord is good. He's working. Beloved friends, if when we begin to realize how far off we are in nature, it's a miracle we begin to pray. And it's a mercy we begin to pray. It might be the publican's prayer. It might be a simpler prayer. Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. The Lord is good, working personally in us. But you know, we in that psalm we have, you know, he brought down their heart with labour. Now I know not everyone is led the same. There might be one here. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Or it could be hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. That brings us to another thought. Think of the glory of the throne of grace. What a provision. How good. How good is the throne of grace. What a mercy. You imagine if you couldn't pray. And I mean with an understanding, there is a God in heaven who hears, an almighty power to hear you. What a mercy is the throne of grace. Where Christ sitteth, sweet mystery, he sitteth there. He sitteth there and receiveth there. Where you can pour out your soul. Friend, there's no place, I say this carefully, we feel sometimes, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. But there is no place where life remains in your body on this earth where you can't pray. I can't go into the detail, but I hope I've proved a little. Or when the Lord gives you the need for forgiveness and help and deliverance and a way of escape, it's a wonderful thing. You can pray. And he hears in heaven. The wonders of the throne of grace. But who are you praying to? One that has entered into the case of his people. I took upon him our infirmities. And was charged with our sins. Knowing the power of temptation. Knowing the weakness of the flesh.
Now love has entered there. God knows in his divine being those things, but Christ entered into the estate of it, that you might have a faithful, glorious high priest. There's the difference. Christ entered into it. He entered into that case. God knows about it. In his divine nature, he knew about it, but he entered into the case. Has he entered into your case? Do you long to know you're his? If you're his, he's entered into your case where you are now. Oh, for the grace to know it and feel it. As he sits there on the throne of grace and stands to make intercession for us. An active high priest in heaven in a real body. What a mystery. I'd love to go into speak about that now, but I can't. Time is limited. In a real body, ascended into heaven, now glorified, making intercession for his people. Friend, and I've said this here before, I know. Oh, you think of the sins. How can these confessions enter heaven? Friend, they're known in heaven, already known. It's a great mercy to confess. It's a wonderful thing to be able to plead Jesus' blood. And he presents his righteousness and his merits before the throne. Remember, the Father is ever holy and cannot look upon sin with any pleasure. Even his beloved people, he cannot look upon their sin with any pleasure. But he sees them in his Son, and all the glory there of you pleading Jesus' precious name. The Lord is God. What a great high priest, having suffered for us. But what is there you're going to plead? That blood that was shed. You know, you may say, I've got no ground on which to ask for mercy. I don't know whether anyone feels like that here tonight. You've got no ground on which to ask for mercy. What ground do I come and ask for mercy? Where do I go? What principle have I got to bring before the Lord asking for mercy? Christ's precious blood is the sinner's plea, shed for sin. He gave his life, we said this morning, a ransom. Oh, to come and plead it. The Lord is good to provide it. God is good to provide it. Friend, that was a holy offering. That's acceptable to God. Your blood, vengeance will take hold of the wicked, and their blood avails nothing. It's wicked. But Christ's righteousness, your plea. The Lord is good. Friend, what a provision in the gospel. You've got no pleading ground. You've got nothing to come and bring before God. Nothing to come with. You can't even... I know sometimes we can say we bring the Lord's word. And it's a great mercy when we can bring the Lord's word. You can plead God's word. He is glorified by it. Because as it's made precious to you, so Christ is magnified in your heart. There might be those times when you feel you can't plead anything. You've got nothing to plead. You feel undone. You've got blood to plead. You've got blood to plead. That is where those who don't pray, when they go to the bottomless pit, have got no excuse. And God is justified. He's provided. I know it's his sovereign will and so forth. Beloved friend, you won't go to heaven because you believe in God's sovereign election. You'll go through the righteousness and the blood of the Lamb of God being made precious to your soul. The Lord is good. Let's think of it more in a personal pathway. Thus far he's led us on praying ground. He's not cut you off yet. And there is, while life remaineth, there is room for repentance. And he sends the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. Here a little, there a little. Give us a tender conscience, a need of him. Is that not goodness? Is that not mercy? Is not the tender fear of God goodness to us, to keep pleading Jesus' name? And what does the Spirit do? Friend, there is one work the Holy Ghost does. You can say, well, it's a work of sanctification and brings forth the redemption of Christ to us, and he's a warning, an unctuous light to all that's right, a bar to all that's wrong. Yes, we can say all these things, but there's one mission the Holy Ghost brings to the church, to the soul, to reveal Christ, to make him known, to make him precious. It's the Holy Ghost, glorious work. He speaks not of himself. How the Lord is good to send the Spirit to a man. For the Spirit doesn't just bring views of heaven and doesn't bring a righteousness or prop you up. He brings Christ's righteousness, mercy, atoning love and grace. I know we said some of these things this morning. The Lord is good to send the Holy Ghost, and for the Holy Ghost to abide with us. Love will, what did we sing this morning in that hymn? Not all the wanderings of a heart can make his love from her depart. I remember your late deacon, Mr. Ayres, being quite touched, by that lines of those hymn, that hymn, the Lord is good. Now, how is he leading us on? Humbling us, causing us to wait. Paths we've never walked before, paths we never foresaw, to wean us from this earth. Friend, if we had all our pleasures and all we wanted and all we needed around us, you'd take root right in them. You'd take root in them. I know the way is painful, and I speak very tenderly here. There are those who in deep exercise, Lord, provide for me. Lord, go before me. Lord, do open that door. Lord, do help me. Do fulfill thy promise. Yes, dear friends, the Lord is very merciful and compassionate, and he can and he will in his time and way, I'm sure, but there is a weaning from things below that he might be all in all. Now that is mercy, friends. For the comforts of this life, and I'm not being harsh, I need those comforts. I'm a right squealer when things go wrong, I can assure you. But to wean our hearts from earth away, to have a heavenly hope beyond this world, how short is time? Is he dealing with you? Is he bringing down your heart with labour? The Lord is good. But how good to cause you to hear the gospel. How good to cause you to hope in his name. How good he's been to you personally. That hearing, that word spoken, whether quietly to your spirit, rising it as it's within, as you read in the word, in the Lord's house, or in a phone call or a letter, the Lord speaks, and there is a purpose, and his truth enters with light and power, and it is all of grace, and it's all of mercy, and it's all of love, it's all of compassion. The Lord is good, how he's leading you. There's one great thing, dear people, I must move on, his people need. I spoke of this morning. Oh, the miracle, the wonder of forgiveness. We ought to bring these things in every service, shouldn't we? Forgiveness of sin. The point is, forgiveness of our sins is entering into a new estate. Old things pass away. In God's eye, you may feel old things cling and you wish they would pass away. It's entering into a new estate. Because of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, eternal life. and they were put away in him. In him, in Christ. Sin is put away in Christ. Representative, being buried in the tomb, buried, put away in the earth, not to be seen. And the resurrection, bringing forth or typically of living life. Sin had no power, no dominion over him. And he rose again, triumphant on behalf of his people. It's a new estate. But think of what he bore. It was because he bore the curse. Your sin calls out for vengeance. Must be judged. This hits me so often. It hits me a lot of late, ever so much. My sins cry out for justice, God's justice. Behold the Lamb of God. I have to cry to the Lord Jesus constantly. Behold the Lamb of God, suffering for sin. That's where the wrath went. Yes, he may correct us in measure, but that's in love and grace. That's in love and grace. We only sip the cup that Christ bore. Even unto death, even unto death. He drank the wrath to death. That's something his people will not do. Never drink the wrath to death. They may have correction, but they'll never be unto death. Oh, the Lord is good. Oh, the Lord is good. He's good. He prepares us for his will, but he doesn't always show us what his will is. But he's preparing you, and he prepares us for heaven. He prepares us for his will in the remaining days of our life. You know, he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. And later on in that psalm, we had, did he not, those storm on the sea, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. He maketh the storm a calm. He prepares us for his will, what he will do. Parents, native place and time, all appointed were by him. You know, and there's another, I think it's in that hymn or one adjacent to it, 61 or 64, all must last and come an end, as shall please our heavenly friend. The Lord is good, he prepares us for heaven, prepares his people. How does he do it? By experiencing the soul, he empties you. Nothing. And you cry out for Emmanuel, or for his grace, for his righteousness, for his love, preparing. And he answers that prayer. He brings Christ near, makes Christ suitable, gone to prepare a place. The Lord our righteousness. You know, friend, we sometimes, the Lord blesses in such a way that we are in the depths, and he comes where you are. And other occasions, he might raise you up to see and to know. He is your Lord, your God, and your soul is satisfied with that heart-ravaging, longing view and an understanding open to your soul. And you realize the hand of the Lord is upon you. Or the Lord has spoken to your heart. Or he's opened up to you the fountain of life. Prepares us in his Son, for heaven, for his will. You can't prepare yourself, can you? The Lord is good. We could go on and on concerning the goodness of God, bringing us to need him. Before I close on this first part, you know, he is a compassionate in heaven in Christ. At the Father's right hand, we have a compassionate high priest, a God of mercy, a God of understanding. Jeremiah, when he said, "Ah, Lord, thou knowest," he meant it. He felt it. Thou knowest. The Lord does know where you are. The Lord knows your fears. The Lord knows exactly how you feel in certain things. But he does humble, and he does bring you to rely on him and agree with him, agree with his will, and when turn you from your will to his will. The Lord is good. But oh, what a God of compassion, what healing blessings. He heals the sick, raises up the downcast, lifts the beggar from the dunghill, sets them among princes, inherit the throne of glory. When he was on earth, those healing mercies, eyes opened, lepers cleansed, the poor of the gospel preached to them. Go and tell John again, says Christ to John's disciples, what you have both seen and heard. The lame walk, and so forth. The Lord is good. He hears your prayer, and beloved friend, he cares for his sheep. All the care he has over you. Poor as you are, needy, the care. Do you know God's care? His care is love, his watchful eye, his preservation. If there's no door opened, it's for your blessing and mercy. When the door does open, it's exactly the same thing. It's for your blessing and mercy. And you'll be humbled whether the door is closed and when the door is open. You'll be humbled to wait on the dear Lord. What would you rather have, all your wants given you? Would you rather have Christ and his will? I've faced this more than once, and I still face it every day of my life now. But the word goes on, and this is where we prove the Lord's goodness, a stronghold in the day of trouble, a strength in the day of trouble. Now that is the gospel. That is where we prove the Lord good, in the day of trouble. Oh, a stronghold, a refuge, in the storm, in the tempest. Now, does he bring us into trouble? Why is there trouble in the earth? Why are we led through this way? Because of our sins. He doth not willingly afflict nor chasten the children of men. God is love. There is a purpose, there is a reason, instruction. But what a stronghold in the day of trouble. Oh, we think of dear David. Oh, the trouble that he had. Some of it he could see and understand why the Lord was dealing with him as he did. Other occasions he could hardly begin to understand. Look at dear Jacob. We can all read the Bible and say, well, Jacob suffered for that deceit at the beginning and so forth. Well, what are you going to suffer? It's not what Jacob suffered, friend, it's what you're going to suffer. If you're taught of the Lord, but is Jacob's Lord yours? Look at the care of God over Jacob and over David. Look at the preservation. But you know, look at David in being prepared for the kingdom. However could the Lord lead him in such a path to be hated of the present king? Well, what a solemn thing to be anointed king when there's another king reigning. You ponder it. It was going to bring trouble to him, but that was God's will. And the people followed Saul, and they knew David. Saul regarded David as a usurper, a threat. I know he was a wicked man, but you could in a sense you can understand he sensed the danger. David was a mighty man, a valiant man. But David had to rely in those circumstances on the Lord, and so will you. In your pathway, among the men of this world, in all the Lord's dealings, you'll be brought to rely entirely upon the Lord for safety and protection. All David could appeal to was the Lord's word and his anointing. He had nothing else. It was not of David. The Lord anointed David. Samuel anointed David king. And he knew it. And it meant trouble all the time. Saul was living. That was God's way of preparing him for the 40 years reign. God's way. Friend, and God's way of preparing us for glory. The challenge of Satan. Satan's kingdom is under threat. His dominion. I know we love that hymn. It's a beautiful hymn, 394. And Satan... I was going to tell a little story, but I... I will. In a little cottage in Ullapool in 1969, a lady there told me she worked in England and went to our chapels. So there's a lovely hymn, she said to me. It's about Satan trembling when he sees us praying, and I knew straight away where it was. So I told her, I actually sent her a hymn book as well, and she thanked me. But what a wonderful thing. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. His kingdom's under threat. You've got no say in it. He's the mighty one over you until a stronger than he comes, which is Christ. You'll have to get the Lord to fight your battle, friend. In the day and hour of temptation, the day and hour of sorrow, the time of trouble, it's a looking to the Lord as David had to. In all you're being led through, the fiery darts of the wicked one, there's looking to the Lord alone to fight your battles. And Jacob, having to rely on the Lord's promise, a stronghold. Now let us consider these two people. The Lord's anointing, the Lord's word, the Lord's promise, the Lord's blessing. That is your stronghold. You tell me another stronghold if you've got one. What's your refuge? Well, the Lord has made known his mercy to your soul. I'm not just talking about pathway mercies. You can plead those. They are good. That's a miracle. Friend, I'm thankful for the smallest of his mercies. It's a miracle. The Lord should take notice of us. But grace is a miracle. And everlasting love is a miracle. And sovereign choice is a miracle to my soul. Is Christ your stronghold? Go back to what I said. You've got nothing to plead. You've got blood to plead. What a mercy. What a safety. What a glorious offering. The Lord doesn't take anything from you. His Son has done it all. And what a mercy if you're led to plead Jesus' name as a poor, needy sinner. The Lord has got a stronghold, a strength in the day of trouble. And what days of trouble there are. What the Lord has done for your soul. I think it was repeated to me today. I think it was by one dear friend, but I may be wrong. But my thoughts go to when David was returned to Ziklag, was burnt with fire. And, you know, everyone's heart was bitter. They'd lost their loved ones. How it touched them. And it was David's... Well, I won't go... Well, look for yourself. He hadn't told the truth to Achish at all. It wasn't right. And you see how vengeance came back from the Amalekites. And they burnt Ziklag with fire. And they spake of stoning him. Isolated. Lonely. Don't be surprised if you get spiritually lonely, personally lonely. Even you can be in a family and be lonely. The Lord, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What had he got to encourage himself? Even his wives were taken. He had lost everything. It wasn't as if he had stopped, got his possessions and the others lost theirs. Not at all. They're in the same boat together, but they spake of stoning him. And he was hated by Saul, not wanted by Achish. He got nowhere. The anointing encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So what's the Lord said to you? I know you're tried. Think of the reality. Friend, you can't imagine God's blessing. I know we can imagine it. We can all dream. But when the Lord lifted you up, it was a reality and it was a mercy. When Christ is made precious, He opened up the gospel in a way you'd never seen it before, and you actually tasted it. You tasted his love. That's your stronghold, the anointing, what the Lord has said, how he's led you. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. The glory of the covenant, the stability of the covenant. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He had one person with him, Mabatha, bring hither the ephod. What a desperate, how am I going to follow this lot? And, you know, shall I pursue? Will I recover? Thou shalt recover all. And he did. The Lord is good. David, see there. See how, I speak carefully. I was going to say grace is rewarded, but I've got to qualify what I mean, because it's not of our doing at all. But you know, God is glorified to deliver and restore fourfold, if necessary, unto your soul all that you've lost. If you trust in his name. Now, it's not down to us to trust in his name, as we are led to trust in his name. But think of grace. Grace brings us to trust in his name. Isn't that a mercy? What could David do? He went to inquire of the Lord. Firstly, he trusted him. Firstly, he was encouraged to believe what the Lord had told him. He knew the reality of an anointing. Friend, do you know the sovereign visit of mercy to your heart? Sovereign visit, a stronghold. That's your stronghold. Now, it's easy to say these things in life, but there are times of deep trouble. Real trouble. Oh, you face death. What's the Lord's will? And you face death as a sinner. Don't forget that. You have to face death as a sinner sometimes. What have I done? What a wretch. How did I get there? Have mercy on me, Lord. Do you know, I go about still praying for mercy and forgiveness. I have to. But you know, in the hour of death, a stronghold is coming. The Lord is good, a stronghold. Now, I find this very difficult to speak of dying. I think we all should as well. I don't think we... I'm not going to say anything. I wouldn't give a hint at who it was, but there was... I didn't hear it, but it was repeated back to me fairly recently of someone standing in the Lord's name saying we shouldn't be afraid of death. You know, we should be trusting. It is well with his people and so forth, but those that spoke to me said, well, we couldn't quite take that. Death is a very fearful thing. And I had to say, well, I'm afraid to die without the Lord. You know, you're a sinner. Friend, you're a sinner. But the Lord is good. And he's a stronghold. And he will come. And it's difficult to speak about death. We have to go through it to experience actual, the hour and article of death. It's a very solemn thing. Why do I say this? I'm not being gloomy. Because death is the last judgment for sin. It's the last judgment for sin, and it will come. And his people know it is just and true, and they've got to pass through the gloomy veil. But the Lord is good. And dying grace is given at a dying hour. I can't anticipate anything, and nor can you. We're beggars for mercy. But you know, the Lord is good, and what he's done, you can plead. Now, you do prove his goodness in times of trouble beforehand. That's one of the means of the Lord preparing us, delivering us in extremities, that when that extremity of the last hours come, we may prove him true still. Or to believe his word, for fear thou not. Now, don't you want that? Don't you need it? You will when you come to die. I am with thee. I am with thee. You can't make that up, you know. You can't make that up. When the Lord comes, he comes. When the Lord speaks, he speaks. How you long for it. How you need it. But he's good. A stronghold. A refuge. A strength in the time of trouble. In the day of trouble. I've got to close, the time has run. It does say this also. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Now, we could quickly overlook that and say, yes, well, that's a wonderful word. But think about the labour of your trusting in him. All the labour it brings, all the exercise of soul it brings. He knoweth them. He knows you. He knows your longing to trust. He knows your prayers. He knows your sighs. He hears your conversation. He knows the inner trembling. He knows the inner fears. Friend, he doesn't just know about it. Now, that's the wonderful thing. He doesn't just know about it. He himself has drawn you to him by love. By love. He's drawn you to him by love. And I must also add again, he's entered into your estate already when he came on earth and suffered and died. He knoweth them that trust in him. It's a wonderful, I don't know how to describe this. It's a wonderful thing. He knows you in grace. He knows you in love. He knows you in his overcoming. He has overcome. His people rose with him, mystically, mysteriously, wonderfully, actually, in his soul and his heart, when he triumphed over death. He knoweth them that trust in him. Are you trusting? You're trying to. One description of trust is most beautiful in the Word of God. The man, and I've said this here many times, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That man was trusting. That man was, he felt a bit shaky. He was struggling. It was a lovely word. And I've had to prove this, and it is a fight. When I was baptized, Mr. Seymour gave me those words, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on upon eternal life, for unto that also called. It's been a good word to me ever since. What a fight of faith. There's no fighting I can do. It's looking to the Lord. The struggle is looking to the Lord. Laying hold upon what he's done for my soul. He knoweth them. Friend, he knows you already. He's drawn you. He sees you. And he died for you. And he's drawing you. Think of this morning's word, draw me, and we will run after thee. I have to leave it now, the time has run. The Lord is good. Do you know the mercy of God bringeth us to repentance? The grace of God, the compassion of God, leadeth us to repentance, to mourn over our sins, and after him, the Lord is good. What he's gone to prepare a place, in the fullness of the gospel, the fullness of the provision, the fullness of help, the fullness of strength, the fullness of righteousness, the fullness of hope, the fullness of love are in the Lamb of God. The Lord is good. God has provided it there in his Son. Why in his Son? Because think of the glory of his humanity. He can be approached, understood by mortal men like us, to be understood and known in a real man, yet the glorious eternal Son of God. God made approachable, a wonderful, glorious word was given to Joseph, Emmanuel, God with us. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Behold it in his Son. The Lord is good. A strength. Now the word says stronghold. We run to a stronghold or we desire a stronghold. But it also means strength where you are. A present help in trouble. Strength. Strength to hold fast. Strength to cleave to him. Stronghold or strength in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them. Sweet to me as I say it. It's true. He knoweth them that trust him. He knows your tears, your prayers, your cries, your struggles to trust, how you plead his word, how it glorifies him. He knoweth them that trust in him.
collections last Lord's Day amounted to £746, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening with a collection for the TBS, and Mr. Timothy Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1109. Come, weary souls with sin distressed, come and accept the promised rest. The gospel's gracious call obey, and cast your gloomy fears away. 1109.
Grace. of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.